may have helped them make the miles grow seemingly shorter on the second missionary journey, because they'd walked a long ways. And so let your imagination go for a second here and imagine how Paul and Silas, either individually or perhaps together, how they were singing this midnight hour the following psalm. And you'll recognize it. The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. He maketh me down to lie in pastures green. He leadeth me the quiet waters by. My soul he doth restore again, and me to walk doth make within the paths of righteousness, even for his own name's sake. Yea, though I walk in death's dark veil, yet will I fear none ill, for thou art with me, and thy rod and staff me comfort still. My table thou hast furnished in presence of my foes. My head thou dost with oil anoint, and my cup overflows. Goodness and mercy all my life shall surely follow me, and in God's house forevermore my dwelling place shall be. Did you notice how quiet it got when I was singing? What do you think happened in that prison? They heard him. That was the 23rd Psalm. And I won't do that again. But the Lord encouraged me to do that, okay? I'm sorry I didn't pass out earplugs ahead of time. But I think that was the point was to be illustrated. What was going on here at this midnight hour? Go to the 70th Psalm. And you could see how such singing calmed the midnight hour. And for certain it brought relief, some relief at least, to our two apostles. And maybe they also sang the 70th Psalm. Maybe they sang all 150 of them. I don't know. But Psalm 70 says this, and this is would have been appropriate. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Lord. Let them be ashamed and confounded that seek after my soul. Let them be turned backward and put to confusion that desire my hurt. Let them be turned back for a reward of their shame that say, aha, aha. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. And let such as love thy salvation say continually, let God be magnified. But I am poor and needy. Make haste unto me, O God. Thou art my help and my deliverer, O Lord. Make no tarrying. Now, again, we're not told in Acts 16:25 the songs that Paul and Silas sang. We're only told that Paul and Silas sang praises unto God. And they weren't quiet about it, as we mentioned, because the prisoners heard them. We've all heard Holy Ghost-filled singers singing Holy Ghost-inspired songs. And when the power of the Holy Ghost anoints the singer, we never forget the sweetness of that song and the power of its message. Such songs echoes in our heart for years to come. And in our heart, we can still hear the singer or singers. Well, I don't know what quality was the singing there of Paul and Silas, but from their dungeon at midnight, they sang praises unto God. And these songs that Paul and Silas caroled were uplifting, and they were upward-looking songs, songs of hope and faith, songs of rejoicing, songs directed unto our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is our hope. And you'll find that in 1 Timothy 1:1. In turn, these songs of praise unto God lifted the spirits of both Paul and Silas and gave them some relief and a peace that passeth all understanding despite their pain and suffering, which we just read about, you know, in the verses previous. In our memory verse in Philippians 4:4 through 4:7 again reads, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." We find Paul and Silas having the peace of God here amongst this prisoners in this midnight hour. It would be easy to lose one's mind in the torturous situation Paul and Silas were in, yet their hearts and their minds were fixed on Jesus Christ, who in turn gave them a peace which passeth all understanding. And furthermore, he gave them hope for their deliverance. Now, I want to discuss this kind of hope and turn to Psalms 37. And this was hope in the Lord. It's not a hope that I get out of here. It was hope in the Lord. The Apostle Paul probably didn't realize it, but he wrote the word hope 15 times in his epistle to the Romans. And 15 is, again, the number that has to do with rest. How much rest were Paul and Silas getting this midnight? Well, they were getting some rest because they were resting in the Lord. And they knew the Psalms, and they probably knew Psalm 37:7, where it says, "Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass." So they were to rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Now, go to Romans, the 4th chapter. And we'll go through this, if I can get through it, fairly quickly. This epistle that Paul wrote to the Romans was penned after Paul himself had experienced such relief in the time of midnight trial, and he wrote with solid conviction the following words of hope found in Romans. And these are going to be building block steps of hope as he goes along here. In Romans 4, 18, Paul writes about Abraham, who believed God, who, against hope, believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations. In Romans 5, Paul brings this lesson learned about Abraham down to you and me, and he states the following, starting in verse 1 of Romans 5. "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. And then Paul expounds in Romans 8 how that we are the sons of God and potential joint heirs with Christ, whom we patiently wait and hope for his soon coming. We'll start in verse 16. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children and heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together with him. In other words, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Verse 22. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together unto now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searches the hearts knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Go to Romans 12. Do you suppose as Paul wrote all that he recalled his Philippian jail experience? In Romans 12:12, we read some more of hope. And Paul writes that we are to be rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Certainly Paul and Silas were doing all of this in Acts 16:25. Rejoicing in hope, patient in their tribulation, and they were instant in prayer. Paul concludes his lesson on hope in Romans with this verse in Romans 15:13, and then we'll be finished. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. I hope you got something out of this morning.